So yeah, last week, what a fun time last week. I'm glad for those of you who were with us, we had our baptism out at the lake, and so what an awesome time we had together. It's always neat to kind of change it up a little bit, and so I'm hoping that some of you didn't like show up to the church building here and you know, like see the note and you're running late or whatever. I hope everything worked out. Hope you got the communication. But we're back here in the church building this Sunday morning, and so it's good to be here. But yeah, what a great time that we had last Sunday baptizing a handful of people and just dedicating new little ones, and so it was such a beautiful thing. And so we're kind of getting back to our rhythm of summer, the study in Ephesians, as we are looking at fall coming here soon. Rachel's like, yeah, the leaves are here, they're changing, and it's like, that's an exciting time, right? That's a great time. I love the fall. But yet we're still in summer. We're not gonna give up on summer quite yet. But we want to get into Ephesians and continue in this study in the series for the entire summer. It seems like I was thinking it was gonna take us a few weeks, but it seems to be like absorbing the whole summer, because I just go into Ephesians and I'm thinking, I can't just blow by that one just to get done. I wanna be able to really dig into Ephesians this summer, and that's what we've done. And so we're in Ephesians chapter 4 today. And so as we think about this book, it's just so rich. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, one of the many churches that he's visited and started, if you will, kind of a church planter. Paul is an apostle. And so what an apostle is one who is a pioneer, who just charges forward and just goes for the gospel, right? And so Paul is this amazing apostle. This is that churchy word. For those of you who don't know what an apostle is, it's just a word that says somebody's just going to take the gospel and go no matter what. And so Paul, what a fantastic example of apostleship. And so his entire Christian life, let's just say it that way, his entire Christian life, God had given him a plan as an apostle to go and pioneer, to forge a trail, so to speak. Some he's given that gift to, and Paul is just one of the best at it. And so he's writing this letter to the Ephesians, his church that he had started, and he's encouraging, and he's teaching and training. And so we are finding ourselves in chapter 4 today. But before I jump into that scripture, but there's a warning here that I have for all of us listening today, whether you're online today or whether you're here in the building. There's a warning that Paul is he's done with just really making you feel good. Okay, like he's not the guy. If you want to feel good about yourself and about your Christian faith and about your walk with Jesus, he's not like the encourager. Like Barnabas would be the encourager, his buddy. But Paul is not the guy to look for if you need like sunshine and rainbows. That's not the guy. And so as we read Paul's writings today, he's kind of like he's like getting a sandpaper out and rubbing things down and just kind of like scratching the surface and breaking things down that need to. I remember, have you ever painted anything, painted a wall or whatever? I did this one time where there was an ugly coat of paint. It's an ugly color in one of the rooms of our house. And we're like, that's just ugly. So we decided to paint a different color, and we wanted to paint the different color. And instead of like really prepping it and you know, kind of like, you really don't have to sand that kind of stuff down, but I should have put some primer in, right? Primer first, then the paint. Well, I decided to skip that step of preparation, if you will. I was lazy. I decided just to go right for the new color. So we applied that new color on, and as we were painting it, and it dried, and it was like, yeah, that's great. All of a sudden, something like maybe a week later, 2 weeks later, something scratched that paint, that brand new paint job, and there was that ugly color just showing right up underneath. And so just like that, it's kind of like when we come to Jesus, like when we come to church, when we come to Jesus, maybe for the first time, and we're really just not willing to dig deep and do the preparation of our heart. We just like to put on the coat of Jesus sometimes, the fresh coat of paint, and when somebody rubs us the wrong way, the old self comes out, the ugly paint color comes out. When somebody rubs you the wrong way and you're thinking, well, that's interesting. Same type of thing. So what Paul is doing, I say that illustration this morning, because what Paul is doing is he's making sure that we're preparing the heart. We're preparing ourselves. We're preparing our lives in a way that's harsh. It can be like sandpaper. It's making sure you put the primer on before you put the new coat of paint on. Preparing yourself for what Jesus has for us. So in Scripture, God has a lot to say about the heart, right? And understanding that this word heart is used in reference to, not in reference to like the blood-pumping organ in our bodies, but it's the seat or the center of a person. Of that idea of our person, our spirit, is when we talk about our heart. And so if our heart condition is good, if who we are spiritually is in tune with the Holy Spirit, we're going to be a people of compassion. We're going to be people of encouragement. We're going to be people of love toward each other. But as we dig deep into Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's talking about the hardened heart, the one who is not really had done the prep work. When something rubs you the wrong way, the old man comes out, if you will. I want to take a look at verse 17. Verse 17 through 19 out of chapter 4. With the Lord's authority, Paul says, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life that God gives because they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. So I want to just kind of dissect this passage, this portion this morning. Some ideas, key ideas out of this portion. The word darkness, right? There's darkness. To cover with darkness is something that Paul is describing that when people without Christ, he describes them as the Gentiles. Well, if you're like a Jew writing to Jews, or if you're in that idea of the Jewish religion, the Gentiles were those people who were the unclean people. They were just the outcasts, if you will. And so Paul's simply saying, don't live like those people. They're hopelessly confused. Their minds are dark. And I think that, all you have to do is look around. If you look on social media, if you look on television, movies, I mean, there's just darkness. There is darkness everywhere. And so their minds are dark. They wander from the life that God gives because they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts. And so there's a blindness. There's a blindness that is this hardened callousness that covers people who have hardened their hearts. They don't feel anymore. There's no longer feel anything because of the callous heart. So as Paul is describing these people to the church, he's simply warning them, don't live like they do. Don't live any longer like those people. They're confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander from God because they've closed their minds. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice a kind of impurity. So what Paul is describing is a separation here. It's a separation. And so how we apply this portion of Scripture to our lives, I really believe, is that we need to be sanctified. We need to be separate. We need to be holy and different from those who are in the world, those people who are hardened of heart, those people who desire things that are dark. And as a church, we need to be set apart. That's that word sanctification. So as we think about that, Paul's really calling the church of Ephesus, and now really through God's word and the Holy Spirit, calling us to be set apart, to be different. So I ask you the question, how different are you? Like, how different are you? Like, are you sanctified? Are you set apart from everything that goes on in this world? Or do you blend in? Or are you just kind of like one of the many? Do you stand out as a Christian? Are you somebody that has something different to offer when you're in a group of people who don't know Jesus? Do people recognize your faith? Do people recognize Jesus within you? Because for some reason, you are set apart from everybody else. You talk different. You act different. You react different. And the list goes on and on and on. And so Paul is simply saying to the church, listen, be sanctified. Be holy. Be different. Understand that the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life will change you. The Holy Spirit will change you, and you will no longer act the way that other people act. There's a story of a freshman in high school who won first prize at a science fair. He was attempting to show how conditioned we have become to the norm, to the people who just go and follow each other and they do the same thing. He wanted to introduce some interesting fear and throw out to the public some junk science, if you will. In his project, he urged people to sign a petition demanding strict control or total elimination of the chemical dihydrogen monoxide. And for plenty of good reasons. And so he went on to list in this to show the masses of people how horrible this element, dihydrogen monoxide. And number one, it can cause excessive sweating and vomiting. Number two, it's a major component of acid rain. Thirdly, it can cause severe burns in its gaseous state. Fourthly, he says the accidental inhalation can kill you. It contributes to erosion. It decreases effectiveness of automobile brakes. It has been found in tumors of terminal cancer patients. And so this high school freshman asked if 50 people would support the ban of this chemical. 43 said yes, and 6 were undecided. Only one knew that the chemical dihydrogen monoxide was simply water. H2O. I mean, so as people signed that petition, yes, let's just get rid of that. Whatever this horrible, horrible element from the earth, how could God make something so bad? It's just water, people. It's just water. What sets you apart from following the crowd? I mean, what sets you apart from being different as a Christian? Or are you just like, that person signed it. I might as well sign it too. Yeah, that's what I believe. Let's get rid of that major component that is acid rain. what a horrible chemical that would burn you. What sets you apart? What sanctifies you? Is it your actions? Or do you blend in with everybody else? Paul's just calling us to live a different lifestyle. Live differently than everybody else around you. So as we move on to verse 20. Verse 20 says, and we'll finish out the chapter. And so stick with me if you got your Bibles and you're reading out of your phone or whatever. But that isn't what you learned about Christ, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. Throw off your sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, verse 23, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. Let us tell your neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others who are in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let me read that again. Verse 29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say, be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he's identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So Paul is like, he's just like laying it all out there. He's just calling it out. He is just calling these people out. Listen, you've got to just get rid. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the old have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, put to death, therefore, anything that belongs to your earthly nature. Paul calls this like the old man, right? So it's closing the door to self and opening another. Your old man will still try to pry that door open, the flesh that we live. Paul gets so specific about how that new life in Jesus Christ is supposed to work. It's so specific. So this character, the character of a new person, I found like 8 different points about relationships and the character of a Christian in involving this idea. And so I'm just going to continue to pull out, to exegete, if you will, to pull out of what this passage is saying. Number one, put off falsehood. Speak the truth, verse 25. So Paul's saying, just stop lying. Stop lying. Don't let anger control you, verse 26. You know, don't let anger. Anger is okay. God has given us the emotion of anger. There's nothing, God has given that, but do not let anger control you. I've known some people that anger have controlled their lives and everything that they do and everyone around them, they get angry with. verse 27, watch for footholds. Watch for footholds that Satan can grab a hold of you. Live a legal lifestyle, verse 28. Quit stealing. The goal is to give, not take, but the goal is to give. Verse 29, speak helping words. No potty mouth, right? I mean, there's words that we shouldn't say, we shouldn't cuss, we know all that kind of stuff. That's one thing. We get that. We know that as kids. But like, did your parents tell you, you know, to lift people up with their words? I mean, did they miss that part? Like, don't do this. But instead of, let's lift people up in everything you say. You know, that's important. I'm preaching to myself too, guys. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, verse 30. When we hurt others, it makes God sad, so to speak. When we hurt others, it makes God sad. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 31, don't let the flesh poison relationships. Get rid of, take away, remove bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, that's that abusive speech against someone by telling lies about them, right? Like for some reason, that's how we as humans communicate. We're just like, we like to see somebody fail, or we like to see somebody not do as well as because we're insecure. I don't know, but Paul's just calling these out. Verse 32, let kindness and forgiveness be our first reaction, not the last. Right? I mean, let's let kindness and forgiveness just be our first reaction. Kindness and forgiveness. Boy, we'd all do great at doing that, myself included. So in order to understand, I'm making some presuppositions. In order to understand this kind of wrapping this up today. Number one, we will have problems with other people. right? I mean, that's a given. We will have problems. That's life. We're human. It happens. We will have problems with others. And then secondly, we carry with us into Christianity our character, influences, and culture. And that's good. Think about that one. Think about it. We carry with us in our Christian walk, our character. Characters that which we, who, like somebody said, like characters in that which we, who we are, like alone. Like, who are you when you're alone and nobody knows? That's character. Who are you? You good? You evil? Or are you righteous? Or are you, do you have a man, a woman of good character? So we carry with us into this Christian walk character, influences, and then culture. Who influences you? What a buzzword, young folks and those people who are like addicted to onlineness. Not just young people, old people too. Are you addicted to your phones and Facebook and Instagram? That can be an addiction, by the way. But it's a word of like, they're called influencers, right? Like a YouTube influencer or a TikTok influencer. It's literally a new like genre of person or job, if you will. Like you're an influencer. Oh, I get it. That's what your job is. What an influencer is, for those of you who don't understand what that means, is that like you post so many videos online, people start following you religiously following you, and now anything you say influences an entire culture. Like I'm so old, I have no idea. I can't even give you an example, but I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, everybody on Tuesday needs to wear a blue shirt. And if an influencer simply posts that online and does a TikTok about it, and every Tuesday you wear a blue shirt, I'm walking around in a green shirt on Tuesdays going, why is everybody wearing a blue shirt today? Because there's an influencer that influenced the culture to do what they wanted everybody else to do. But we carry in our Christianity, we carry with us that same feeling of, I want to be influenced by someone. I want to be influenced by someone. So we carry that into our influences and then our culture, of course. We want to blend in. We want to wear the blue shirt on Tuesday. Why? Why do we want to wear the blue shirt on Tuesday? It's because we want to fit in with everybody else. That's just our nature. Paul simply saying, let's go against that because we are separate, we are sanctified, we are set apart as Christians. Thirdly, the process of becoming more like Christ includes chipping away at what is not like Jesus. It's prepping the heart. It's making sure you put primer on the wall first, sandpaper, sand it all down and chip away all the stuff that is not needed before we put on the garment of Christ. Fourthly, another presupposition in this is that we have the ability to make choices in the Spirit to do good or evil. We have that ability to be good or evil. We understand that. It's not rocket science. And fifth, we can choose good. I mean, it is possible to choose good. And so as Paul gives us this entire outline this morning and these lists and the things that we should be careful of, the poison of the flesh, and the list goes on, you understand that we can choose to be sanctified, set ourselves apart in the power of the Holy Spirit with the blood of Christ. So I encourage you today, and I'm preaching to myself today, what sets you apart? As we read Paul, is he simply giving warning to the church of Ephesus? I mean, are you just like the people you work with? In your speech, in your attitudes, in the influencing of who you are? Are you just like those people who are just like you're blending in and you don't stick out? Guess what? If you're a Christian, you should stick out and act different than everybody else. And that's hard. So, like I said, this isn't a sermon to make you feel good today. Paul's doesn't make me feel good. When I read scripture, I'm like, no, I don't get really warm fuzzies over this passage. I'm convicted. And so when I get convicted, it's just Holy Spirit teaching us, teaching me, and we just simply say, Holy Spirit, if there's any wicked way within me, let me know. If I'm being influenced, if I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing, I want to be separate and set apart for your purpose, for your calling, so that you can actually use me in your service in your kingdom. And so I'd encourage you to pray that prayer today. I would encourage you to pray that prayer right now. Say, God, search me. Search me, just like the psalmist said. Search me and know my heart. If there's any wicked way within me, oh Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me with hyssop. And cleanse me whiter than snow. Search me, oh God, so that I can be sanctified, set apart, holy, used for you. So that when I come into a room and people think they just know there's something different about me and they're going to ask, why? So Lord, today I pray that you would sanctify me. I pray that you would forgive me of all of the things that I've struggled with, all of the things that I've done. I pray, God, for me that you would just set me apart. I want to be sanctified by your Holy Spirit. So baptize me, oh God, this morning. So I pray for Dighton Church, God, today. I pray, God, that the words of your holy word of God would dive and dig and pierce and divide and completely break through the hardened of hearts. That, Lord, you would search us. Lord, if we're not sanctified, if we are not set apart, if we are not acting the way that you would have us act, I pray that you would forgive us and that you would just teach and that you would come in and do a mighty, mighty work. So thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can choose good. And we need you, God. We need you. We love you today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together and let's just worship and pray.